You are listening to a sermon by Carl Brown, recorded on Sunday, August 25th, 2019, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." The wonder of God. I mean, he knew this. He knows this. He knows everything. I can't imagine that. From this morning's reading of Jeremiah, I'd like to point out that when Jeremiah says, "Truly, I do not know how to speak," Jeremiah was not a happy man. He disliked being a prophet. He never asked to be one, and he took no joy in the sufferings and deprivations provided by speaking painful truths to the people in power. And personally, Jeremiah makes me think of an old movie. Anybody ever see the old movie, Oh God? Had George Burns playing God. Couldn't beat him. And John Denver was this hapless grocery store manager. And God decides that the world needs a little tweaking, and he visits the grocery store manager and says, "You're going to be my messenger." And the movie is mostly about the misery that this guy goes through. It's the disaster of cosmic proportions. And one of the lines that I can't get rid of in my mind is George Burns. God says, I want you to be my manager. And the grocery store manager says, "What do you mean manager? I mean, I can't speak your word. I don't... Why not take the Reverend Willie Williams as your messenger? He's always delivering the word of God." And God says, "Reverend Big Mouth says he speaks the word of God. Well, let me tell you something. He ran out of my words years ago." I always think of that scene every time I'm asked to write a sermon also. Let me point out that Jeremiah was a walking miracle. Okay, this is a man you could talk to, and he had a direct line to God. And instead of all of these powerful people saying, "Wow, direct line to God, let me treat you well," they treated him horribly because God didn't give him very nice messages. So, isn't that astounding? The wonder of real-time communication with God. They just dismissed that. They were simply ticked off by the messages. And this is where I like to quote Albert Einstein. "He who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." So let me talk about wonder. This is something probably everybody's familiar with. You ever see a little 4-month-old sitting in the high chair, ready to eat? He grabs a spoon, holds it out over the high chair, opens his hand, and drops it. So you pick it up for him. Opens his hand and drops it. And for the first few times, before you start making a fuss about it, and he loses his focus and starts focusing on you and the entertainment you're providing by being unhappy, for the first few times he does this, if you watch his eyes, he's not really looking at the spoon. He's looking at his hand, first of all. And by amazing command, his hand opens. You're 4 months old. It's quite an interesting thing to make a connection like that. And here's the real mystery. Here's the wonder. No matter how many times he does this, the spoon jumps out of his hand and goes that way. Not once does it go that way. It always goes down. Well, you're 4 months old. That's a zinger, boy. I mean, what a concept. Everything you pick up, it'll always go the same direction. You can count on it. Wow. It's a miracle. Now, we could take a lesson from the four-month-old and look at everything we are seeing as though we're either seeing it for the first time, or when you get to my age, whether you're seeing it for the last time. Everything you see, you could do that. And it would give you a sense of wonder. This is a way you could practice building the strength of your sense of wonder. Well, this little baby is going to go to school, and they're going to do the same thing to the him that did to me. This is about 30 degrees, that's 2 meters. That took 0.64 seconds at 9.81 meters per second squared. And it was going 22.51 kilometers per hour when it hit the ground. And if you're interested, it made 2.5 joules of energy. Once they taught me that, I thought, man, I'm smart. You know, gravity doesn't hold any mysteries for me anymore. I can calculate it. This is where I'd like to quote Terry Pratchett. Because sadly, now that we can calculate it, we're not so impressed with gravity anymore. But, like he points out, it doesn't stop being magic just because you know how it works. It's still a wonder. It always goes down. And at some point, we really don't know anything about gravity, but we get these, you know, this feeling because we can calculate it that, yeah, we got it. We got it. We don't. Let's go back to the gospel. If you look at Hebrews, you can actually divide it up into shock and wonder. The first paragraph, basically, it says, you have not come to something that be touched, a blazing fire and darkness. I'll cut to the chase here. Shock and awe. That's the most commonly used phrase with the word awe. Shock and awe. The old method which God used to impress humans. Blazing fire, darkness, a tempest, terror, trembling with fear. This is the old world, the old way, the Old Testament. When you move into the New Testament, but you have come to Mount Zion, in the city of the living God. Okay? So, what's in there? Well, we've got angels, we've got the living God, we've got a heavenly city, that spirits of the righteous. Different. It's not shock and awe anymore. It's wonder and awe. And the warning at the end, this will lead us into the gospel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, etc. Just to grasp that in our own words, in the age past, in the Old Testament, they didn't appreciate the wonder of Jeremiah, who was from the earth. So we're not supposed to fail. Don't fail to appreciate the wonder of the one who came from heaven. So the lesson I find here is embrace the wonder of what God is doing or suffer the consequences. If we lose our sense of wonder, there's a consequence. So moving on to the gospel, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue and he heals a woman. And he gets scolded for it. I'd like to point out that this is a timeless miracle. This is a timeless miracle because even though we can do great things with people, we can slice them open, pull something out, or fix something, put them back together, and they're okay. I don't know what was wrong with this woman, but in theory, they're probably in the Bible. She's bent over like this, and she's got to look at the world half upside down for years. And Jesus comes along and says, you're cured. And she stands up straight. Now, if we had her here today, maybe we could slice her open. We could stitch back a muscle or something. I don't know. It'd still take us months, maybe years, to get her through rehabilitation, to build up the muscles, to straighten out all the cartilage and stuff. It would take months, even with the miracles we can do today. Jesus comes along and bang, she stands up straight, she's done. Well, man, if that happened here, half of us would be in shock, the other half would be in terror. I mean, if this guy can do that, what can't he do? But the leader of the synagogue, he did something which has caused him to be an object of shame for over 1,000 years now. He totally lost a sense of wonder. Completely. I mean, if he'd had a smidgen of wonder, he'd be probably miracle. Gone. Instead, what does he do? Without wonder, what does he do? He just goes to the rule book. And I'd like you to remember that, because you're going to be doing that a lot. You're going to be noticing that a lot of times you go to the rule book because, why? You don't know what else to do. Nothing else is affecting you. There's a penalty for having a lack of wonder. And how do you find wonder? Where do you find it? What am I talking about? What is wonderful? Well, every breath is special. If you've ever had asthma, or if you've ever had pleurisy, or even if you've had a bad cold, and you're lying in bed propped up with pillows because if you lie down, you can't breathe. Well, if you remember that when you're not sick, that's pretty nice. That's a sense of wonder. Now, everything's on the internet. And if you type into Google, you know, sense of wonder, how can I improve my sense of wonder? You get lots of advice. And it's all about, buy yourself a trip to Europe. Take a master class. And it's all pretty much like that. Nobody actually ever says, sit down and think about the miracles going on. All the stuff that you just kind of hide from yourself. You know, just like the leader of the synagogue. He hid from the miracle. He didn't accept, he didn't embrace the miracle. He hid from it behind the rule book. And so most of the advice you get about a sense of wonder is to have a sensation, do something sensational. Book a trip somewhere. Ride a skateboard to church. Yes, they did. But I need a ride home because I forgot to bring my charger and the batteries are low.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, so I'm talking about wonder and how important it is and how we can look at the Bible and lose the message without a sense of wonder. And I talk about, you know, the little child dropping a spoon and just being amazed it always goes down. And we typically think that children, you know, that's what we should be like. We should be like a child with a sense of wonder. Let me tell you a little story about my grandchild. I have a couple of 3D printers at home. If you all know what a 3D printer is, it's a computer that has melts plastic and squirts it out and makes things, quite precise things. Objects of art, technical things. It's a 3D printer. It prints real things. And I was printing her a little frog. And so she's looking at this thing and waiting for the frog to come out. And she can see the feet coming and she can see the body coming. And she's waiting and she's looking at this thing. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, a child's sense of wonder. And finally it finishes and I take it off and I give it to her and I wonder how she's going to express, I'm curious, how's she going to express this sense of wonder? What's she going to say? She looks at the frog and looks at me and says, another one. child sense of wonder? Nope. Greed. Why? Well, because our sense of wonder is weak. I mean, we're born with it, yes, but it can evaporate. And it's easily lost. We're subject to advertising all the time. Everything's about advertising. And what is that doing? It's giving us exercise and strengthening what? Our sense of greed. You deserve this. Well, yeah, I do. Darn right. So give us your money. Okay. We get trained. We get exercise for our sense of greed. Does anybody exercise our sense of wonder? It's up to you. It's your job. It's like getting up in the morning and doing your exercises. Get the worst part of the day over with first. Or eat a dead frog. No. We have to exercise our sense of wonder. It isn't that we need miracles happening in our life. We need to see them. They're there all the time. You know, I've got a couple of 3D printers. I have access to a whole bunch of them. I can print out something that says, that looks just like this. But it won't be alive. This is a miracle. It grew. It grew from a little seed. And just because we know that, yeah, it's nice. Pretty flowers. Where's the miracle? Holy mackerel. You try making something like this. Well, you can't. You can make something that looks like it, but you can't. There's miracles everywhere. And you know, I look at all the leaves out there. The other day I was pedaling home and I'm thinking, leaves. How many leaves could there possibly be? Do we have numbers that big? Miracles, the wonders, they're all around us. You know, let's wonder about Jesus. Because we don't. We don't wonder enough about Jesus. This piece of God squished into a baby's body. A piece of God squished into a baby's body. I feel wonder at how his life here on earth was just like a man. He grew from a baby to an adult. He loved his mom. He enjoyed food. He had a good time at parties. Drank wine. Got really angry. You know, he was a real guy. And he did miraculous things. You know, the miracles of the fish, miracles of the loaves, healing people. And he gave us hope. And I'm talking about you and me. I'm talking about us when I'm using the word us. Us here. He gave us hope. And this is something amazing because, you know, we missed him by 1,000 years. But the message that he miraculously built still exists for us today. And we can still grab that hope. It's ours. That's a miracle that a lot of people just never think about. We weren't there. We missed it. But we didn't, because it's still here. Awe and wonder. They are the foundations of humility. Imagine the leader of the synagogue again. If he had gone, wow! Okay, if he'd had wonder, he wouldn't have stood up and say, hey, I'm the boss here, this is my place, my rules. He wouldn't have done that. He would have had the humility to accept it. If only he hadn't lost his sense of wonder. Now, I've got a quote here from Richard Dawkins. Anybody know Richard Dawkins? Yeah. He's one of the world's most famous, atheists, yes. He's dead now, but his words live on. And this is something I really like, because I think it's very spiritual and very, very wonderful. We are going to die, and that makes us the lucky ones. Most people are never going to die because they are never going to be born. The potential people who could have been born, who could have been here in my place, but who will, in fact, never see the light of day, outnumbered the sand grains of Arabia. Certainly, those unborn ghosts include greater poets than Keats, scientists greater than Newton. We know this because the set of possible people allowed by our DNA so massively exceeds the set of actual people. In the teeth of these stupefying odds, it is you and I, in our ordinariness, that are here. We privileged few who won the lottery of birth against all odds. How dare we whine at our inevitable return to that prior state from which the vast majority have never stirred. We were born. Yeah, we're going to die. But we were the lucky ones who did get born. Gorgeous, amazing things come into our life when we're paying attention. Apples, grandnieces, puddles. And if you say, well, that's pretty much what I thought I'd see, you're in trouble. At that point, you have to ask, why are you even here? We need to see the wonder and feel the awe of our life because it connects us to God. It gives us the freedom to be humble, which creates for us inside a reverence for God. It allows us to see and feel God in everything we touch. And without our sense of wonder, we lose our connection with God. He becomes abstract and he becomes distant. This life is too wonderful to ever have happened. We should live it in awe and amazement and wonder.